grateful for the opportunity to share with you this evening. I want to share a few objectives first that I'd like to have here. It's always nice to know what the goals are. And one of these is to understand the causes of fluorescence in certain minerals. We also want to observe and identify some common fluorescent minerals. And we want to introduce the hobby of collecting fluorescent minerals. And we want to appreciate the beauty that God has created in these rocks. I'm sorry, I have had some written notes here, so I need a little bit of light to see my notes. But we'll turn the lights off for a few things we got to do. So the theme verse we have, I like to have a theme verse that kind of runs through everything. And the theme verse is, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." So to conceal means to hide by covering. And so God has hidden the beauty of these rocks, these fluorescent rocks, inside. And you can't see them under ordinary visible light. When I looked into the meanings of a few of the words in the verse, the glory of God, and then it also says the honor of kings, and those were the same Hebrew word. So I thought that was interesting that they're the same word, and it means splendor. So to search out is a Hebrew word meaning to penetrate or examine intimately. So we need to get inside these rocks in order to see the beauty that's there. So it's God's splendor to conceal this beauty, and it's our honor as kings that God has created us, in a sense, kings of the earth, to penetrate this phenomenon of nature and to examine it in detail. So what changes these rocks? That's a picture of my full display in visible light. Some of the rocks have interesting colors and textures, but they look generally rather ordinary into this. So I'd like to flip my light on here and just see this. Is there a way to hide this from so the screen's not on?
Yeah.
On here? The bottom one? Okay. Thank you. Now, if you want to cut the lights then, please. Again, please. All right, so let's find out what this is. So what makes these rocks glow? So we need to learn some things about light, which we saw a lot of light. I was thinking, well, our brother was talking about things in outer space, and we're pretty earthbound now. We're getting down into some small things now. So let's talk about light. This is our outline, understanding luminescence, understanding fluorescence, understanding ultraviolet light, understanding fluorescent minerals, and then collecting fluorescent minerals, a few things on that. So understanding luminescence, first of all, light is a form of energy generated by another form of energy. And one way, well, how do we make light? What's one way that people have made light for eons, for a long time? How do we make light?
Fire,
heat, right? So heat is a kind of luminescence that is incandescent. And like a candle, people use candles for years to make their light. And even we did. What did Edison do? All he did was he took a material that wouldn't burn up, but it got hot and it made light. That was an incandescent light bulb. And we were using them until not too long ago, actually. So luminescence is another way to produce light, but without heat. So that's considered to be cold light, luminescence. And there's several different types of luminescence that you may have heard of. Maybe you heard of bioluminescence. How many of you see fireflies flying around in your backyard these days? That's bioluminescence. Is a firefly burning up? No, it's not burning up. It's making light through processes that don't make light through heat. And there's other things as well. I saw a picture of a lantern fish in the encyclopedia, and it looked amazing. It had a whole rows of lights. It looked like some of these trucks they send down the road with lights running the whole way along a trailer, except it had it all along its body, shining a light, lantern fish. So that's of interest. Of course, children for many years have been catching fireflies, putting them into a jar, and seeing how much light they make. That's bioluminescence. And then photoluminescence is another kind, which is the main thing we're going to be talking about. Light produced by electromagnetic radiation, such as X-rays or ultraviolet light. And so that's the focus that we have here. So we're looking now at fluorescence, understanding fluorescence, and this is a type of photoluminescence because the light that's generated comes from a another form of radiation. So what's a common form of fluorescence? Where might we see fluorescence, or might we have seen fluorescence? The fluorescent light? I'm not sure if these are fluorescent lights or not. They took a bit to come on, so I thought maybe they were. Take a little bit to warm up. But in any case, fluorescent lights are a common form of fluorescence, fluorescent light bulb. So fluorescence is the property of giving off light at one emission wavelength or color when illuminated by light or radiation of a different excitation wavelength or color. So, in short, and we'll say this again later, but when the UV light strikes those rocks, that's one wavelength, and then as that, it'll emit a different wavelength, and you'll see the colors. So, the excitation source can be a variety of wavelengths, such as X-rays or infrared light or ultraviolet light. The emission wavelength can vary, but it's always longer than the excitation wavelength, that is less energetic. So let's look at the electromagnetic spectrum here. And I tried to credit everything that it wasn't mine. I downloaded a few slides that I used some from. But the electromagnetic spectrum, to the left, shown as the blue, there are shorter wavelengths and more energy. And to the right, shown as red-orange, are longer wavelengths with less energy. In other words, if you think of the long wavelength, they're big, long waves, and the short waves are just, so you see they're more energetic. The other ones are long, slow, but fast. So those are the ultraviolet ones and below. Now, if you see that up there, we have NM there. How many people know what NM stands for? People know what NM stands for? That's the length of a wavelength, a piece of a meter, a piece of a meter. And so the that's nanometers. So if you took a meter, I know nobody liked to learn metric system in school, and if you learned it, you probably forgot it if you didn't use it. But a meter divided into 1,000 pieces, and those are millimeters, right? Now, take your millimeter, that little blip on your meter stick, and divide that into a million more pieces. So each millimeter divided into a million pieces. That's a nanometer. So a nanometer is a very small thing. So again, Morris was talking about some very big things, but nanometers are infinitesimally small. And so that's what we're talking about here. So the visible light rays there are from about 400 nanometers to about 780 nanometers. And above that, you have waves that we can't see with our unaided eyes, and that will be infrared. And then below that, which is fewer nanometers, that is shorter wavelengths, and therefore more energetic, you have UV, and I'm gonna go over the different kinds of UV light, as well as other types of radiation below that level as well. And we can't see below about the 400 nanometer wavelength. Our eyes can't detect that. Now, to think about how this works in understanding fluorescence, we want to look at this a little bit. So we have an excitation ray. Trouble with the pointer. The excitation ray, which in the case of these fluorescent rocks would be UV light, is striking this atom here. This is a crude diagram of an atom, and these are the electrons in their orbits around the nucleus of the atom. And so the excitation ray strikes this electron here, and as it absorbs some energy, it gets excited, and then it jumps a cog, we might say. It jumps into an outer orbit, steps up its energy. This is considered to be a more energetic orbit. This place here, where it normally is, it's called its ground state. And so, of course, the electron will eventually lose its energy and fall back into its ground state here, where it normally is. So that's a lower, less energetic orbit. Now, as it does so and it falls back, here you see the emitted ray given off. And so that's the light ray that you see. So when I flip the UV lights on here, then that would be this excitation ray here. And the colors you see are these emitted rays. And I changed the color of this so that you can see that it's a different color than this one up here, which is just to illustrate what that is. The light that's given off this way is said to be fluorescent. All right, now looking at ultraviolet light here, UV light is the most common excitation source for fluorescence. And we might say ultraviolet, so we might say it's purpler than purple, more purple than purple. So we'll look at a couple different kinds of UV light I want to show you here on the slide here, which again comes from a website, Nature's Rainbows, an article they had. You have, again, the entire spectrum. Below ultraviolet are X-rays, and above infrared or radio waves. But then in the ultraviolet spectrum, you have four different kinds of ultraviolet rays. And so all of these are basically outside of the visible spectrum, although there's a certain amount of UVA that is said to blend in with light we can see. So let's look at these different types of ultraviolet light. And we have what's called long wave light here, and that's called abbreviated LW or UVA. So this is from 315 to 400 nanometers, just under violet light, and it's also present in sunlight. Our brother talked about sunlight, present in sunlight, these UV rays. And this is your typical black light. Like if you go to the hardware store and buy one of those black light tubes and put it up in your basement just to show people something for interesting, that's what that would be. That would be long wave. The only thing about those lamps is they're not good for showing fluorescent rocks because they leave too much visible light through. Like even these lights leave a certain amount of visible light through, but there's more ultraviolet light. It's a higher percentage of it. And this can pass, long wave light can pass through glass and plastic. The picture that's here, you see what that says there, 365 nanometer UV LED. And that's what this flashlight is here that I have. This is a 365 or long wave light. And we'll talk about that a little more just later. I'll use those as well. There is a kind of fluorescent light called medium wave, which 280 to 315 nanometers wavelength. And that is also present in sunlight. This is blocked by glass and plastic. So in the front of my case, I have plexiglass there. And so at least theoretically, that's supposed to block the UV rays coming off of that. But I don't have a medium wave at all. There's not a lot of rocks that fluoresce under medium wave. So I have a long wave and a short wave. And the light that's in there, lighting my display, that also is a long wave and a short wave, but not medium. And I guess if you're a purist, you probably want the medium wave too. You just got to pay more for the three wave light, which I didn't do. It's also the least fluorescent wavelengths. In other words, there's not as many rocks that fluoresce under that light. This medium wave UV or UVB can be used in our bodies to make vitamin D. So that's a thing most people are in short supply of because we're not out in the sun enough. And so we don't get enough of UV light to make vitamin D. This is also used in DNA analysis. If you study fluorescent light, you'll learn that this can be used in many applications, but they can put dyes on the DNA molecules, and then they can use UVB to look at that DNA. And then shortwave UVC, this one is from 200 to 280 nanometers in wavelength. And you see on the light here, it says SW means shortwave, 255 nanometers, and that's this light here is 255 nanometers. I'll show you those again later. This is the most energetic fluorescent because it's the shortest waves, and it's not present in sunlight because it's blocked by the Earth's ozone layer, but you can get burned. Like if you would look at a shortwave light like this too long, you could actually, it could harm your eyes and also be bad for your skin. So that's one thing about shortwave. Now, some minerals fluoresce under longwave UV, and others fluoresce under shortwave, which I want to show you here a little. So, if I turn, this is backward from what I usually do, I usually turn it on from the front, but this one here would be UVA. Could you please turn the light off on this side? Thank you. So, gotta watch that, don't trip over my cords here. You can see that only some of the lights glow under this light now. You see this blue-purple in the front, there's a yellow piece, some of the green pieces a little bit, maybe you can't see a whole lot, but not all the pieces fluoresce under long-wave UV. That's a picture of it with all the pieces in there. And so then, if we turn that off, and we turn UVC on, which is the shortwave light, now you can see more of the pretty ones, like the yellow one went out, right? You shouldn't turn these off and on a lot. These are fluorescent lamps, so they tend to burn out quicker if you turn them off. Let me just show you this. Watch the yellow one pop back on again. And there, it's off again. And the orange ones and some of the green ones are glowing a lot. Because they're shortwave, and more rocks do fluoresce under shortwave. Can you hear me okay? I'm away from the mic, but can you hear me okay? You're good? All right. And then some fluoresce the same color under both, like you might have seen some of these green ones light up the same with either kind of light. All right, you could flip that light on again, please. Now, there's some that actually change colors depending which light you're shining on it. And I didn't have any of this stuff. I wish I did. I guess I'll have to go to Texas and see if I can find some. This is under ambient light. This is long wave. It's purple. And this is short wave. It's blue. So that's not my picture, but that shows how that actually changes color depending on whether you shine long wave or short wave under it. Now, understanding fluorescent minerals, the UV light shines on one of these rocks that has these fluorescent minerals in, then it will cause it to emit a different wavelength of light, which is visible light that we see in a different color. And so what minerals do or do not fluoresce? The answer is most do not fluoresce. Most rocks, you could shine your UV light on it and they would not do anything as far as turning color. It wouldn't give a different color because they don't fluoresce, only about 15%. And it's interesting, and there's probably a scientific explanation, but I didn't dig into this, why most metals such as copper, gold, and silver do not fluoresce. And that means also that electrical conductors, which all those are good electrical conductors, also do not fluoresce. So conversely, the fluorescent minerals, the ones that do fluoresce, are electrical insulators. So the question is, what about semiconductors? Well, some do fluoresce, but most do not. Pure minerals usually do not fluoresce. So the most chemically pure substances are those least likely to fluoresce. Quoting again from one of the books I have, for many minerals, the property of fluorescence is an accidental one, a property not intrinsic to the mineral itself, unquote. So, what is needed for a mineral to fluoresce? Answer, you need an activator, something that turns it on. You need an activator. So, to talk about this, I just wanted to give this a little bit. This whole idea of fluorescence is There was a man looking at this in 1852 in Great Britain, and he found out that this rock fluoresces. You see the purple-blue color that it is and the crystals. That rock itself is called fluorite, and so he called the phenomenon fluorescence after that rock. And I have a couple other pieces in there that aren't glowing now. But anyway. Now, we have one kind that is a pure material that does fluoresce intrinsically, that it does, it's not an impurity activated, it's actually a intrinsically fluorescent. And there's not many minerals like that, but this one here is called skeelite, and this one comes, I don't have any of this skeelite, it's comes from this book, UV Light and Fluorescent Minerals. And that's a pure substance that fluoresces. But most of them are not pure substance. Now these that are intrinsically activated, they will fluoresce every time, all the time. They're consistent because they're made that way, that they would fluoresce. And they can actually create these materials in a laboratory and they fluoresce the same as they do in nature. Now, what we have that makes most of these things fluoresce is impurity activators. So impurity activators are minerals in which there's some impurity, usually an ion. And I'm not going to take time to explain what ion is. I think ions were already mentioned. But anyway, they have a charge. That's a simple way to say it. Ion is a charged atom. It has a plus or minus charge. So in this case, we have adamite, which I wanted to show this. I pulled this out of my display. That at all. I'm going to have to hide this thing a little. Oh, well, that's not working.
The bottom of the round button.
Yeah, it's not doing it. Anyway, that's all right. So what I'm looking at here is this is a kind of uranium ore here. And I keep it in a plastic bag because it's supposed to be in something that's more or less airtight. Otherwise, you could get some radiation off of it. But that one is a uranium ore, and someone has said it glows a ghostly green. So I don't know if that's ghostly to you or not. But anyway, so this adamite, I think I can shoot this one from up here. That one really glows. So that's the picture on the screen there of this adamite. And so this one is activated by an impurity in the substance. That is a chemical impurity. It's in the substance. It's a uranyl ion, which is uranium and two oxygen atoms with two positively charged electrons there. So they have adamite. That's the that is an impurity activated rock, and then I have ruby, which this is activated by the chromium ion, Cr3+. And I'll just, if you can see that here, can you see that at all in the back? I'm going to hold it up for you. That fluoresces under long wave. Like in this case, if I would take my short wave light and shine on that one, they would not light. This is what you do. There's some dust on it. That's about it that you see. But when you shine the long wave light on it, it pops. And when I went to the rock shop at Green Dragon, I saw that the dealer had one there. And I looked at that, and my heart immediately said, I love that color. That red is so beautiful. I thought I just have to have it. And I thought, well, I didn't have enough money in my pocket, and I thought it was plenty much, so I walked away. And then later I was thinking about this rock and how much I liked it, and I thought, you know what, I just got to go back and buy it. So I took some money along the next time and went there, and he said, oh, yeah, we sold that one. Oh, no. But he said, you know what? We have more. I'll get you another one. Come back next week. So I was relieved, and I went back the next week or two, whenever it was. I went back, and sure enough, I bought this one here. So that it takes a pretty strong light to make it fluoresce like that, but it is a beautiful color, as I, in my opinion, anyway. And it does. That rock, particular one, comes from Brazil. Now we have calcite and willemite, and I have the color. Colors there. That the rock is, and then willemite is green, and they're both activated by the manganese ion, so Mn2+, and those will be activated by a shortwave. All right, thank you. Now, I wanted to talk about the activators just a little bit there. As far as I came across this in the book, UV Light and Fluorescent Minerals, which goes into pretty much detail about some of the scientific things here. But I thought this was really interesting, that the difference between the red-orange calcite and the bright green willemite is the structure of the molecule. So this is called octahedral because it has eight sides, you see? It's like a pyramid, and then you have an upside down pyramid as well, because it's Mn plus manganese, that's the black circle in the middle, that's the atom of manganese, and then you have surrounded by six oxygen atoms, and that one glows red-orange. Over here we have willemite, and that has a tetrahedral structure, which means it has four sides, counting the bottom here, and it has the same impurity, manganese, but it only has four oxygen atoms instead of six. And so that makes the difference in the structure. And interestingly then, that structure affects the way it gives off light. And so the one is red and the other is green. I thought that was pretty neat. There's that little difference inside there of how they're built that makes a difference in what they give off then. Now we have the third thing is defect activators. So we have intrinsic, and we have impurity, and we have defect activators. These have a kind of a defect in the crystalline structure of the mineral. So here you see we have what's called a line defect, because there's this one just comes to an end. See that? The others keep going, but this one stops. Or down here we have some other examples, and they have different names for them. I'm not going to go into that. But in this case, there's one missing. Over here, one's in the wrong place. Over here, there's something in there that's different, a bigger defect. That's called an impurity defect. So there's actually a defect in the crystalline structure, and that's another kind. I don't know if I really have an example to show you of that of a rock. It is said that calcite with a crystalline or with a defect activation would actually be white. So these impurities distort the electron cloud, and that's what makes it give off a different color in those cases. Now, I hope you didn't think that was too complex, because that's about like getting to first base. There was it's much more complex than this, and if you didn't understand it, that's all right. One writer says, this study is a challenging one, and much remains to be learned. And so there's a lot of other things there, such as coactivators and promoter ions and complexly activated minerals that all enter into this thing that I wasn't really planning to talk about tonight. Now, might there be... yeah, there is. I have this on this slide. I thought I didn't. At the bottom, I don't know if you can even see that from the back because of my display case here, but quenchers. Are there materials that would actually turn fluorescence off? And the answer is yes, there are quenchers. Their presence can stop fluorescence. So cobalt, nickel, to a lesser extent, copper. If you would replace a certain atom in that molecule with one of these, it turns it off. It won't be fluorescent. It's just that way. That's the way it is. It would be interesting to look at some other things. I don't know. I might be able to do this. to talk about phosphorescence, you probably have heard of phosphorescence, and some of these minerals are phosphorescent. They will glow after you turn the light off. So I'm going to try to do that here. I'm not sure if it's going to be dark enough or not. It's sometimes hard to see, but I'm going to try that here. Do you want to dim that down? I'm using long wave here, so it's not harmful, really. Yeah, it's not quite dark enough. Let me try the short wave light here. I think it works under short wave, but not long wave. It actually fluoresces a little better under a short wave, too. You can see it glowing? Can you see it in the back?
Yeah.
Okay. See how it fades. What's happening in that case is the activated electrons remain activated for a while even after you take your light away. So there's no more excitation energy coming in, but they remain excited, and so they continue to glow after you pull your light away. Oh, so that's pretty neat. That's really nice if it's darker than this yet. That's when it's really fun because it's neat to watch it sit there and continue to glow. But anyway, so it doesn't last long, but it keeps glowing a little while after you pull the light away. Now, talking more about collecting fluorescent rocks, I guess I'm about out of time here too, aren't I? well, maybe just, how did I get into fluorescent rocks? Well, one of my sons is here, and he was a rock hound ever since he was pretty little. And one year we went on a trip, and we went to New Mexico, and there they had a little state park called Rockhound State Park. And that was a place that he definitely wanted to go. So the whole family went there, and they went. It was kind of hot and sunny, but we were looking around for rocks, and I think we found some. I don't think we were into fluorescent rocks then. But anyway, so he liked rocks, and he collected a bunch of rocks. And somewhere along the way, we learned about this place in Franklin, New Jersey. And there was a man who lives in New Jersey. He said, well, did you ever go there? I'm like, well, no. So I had an interest to go to Franklin. So one day, one Saturday, Jeremy and I, we went up there, and we didn't have any light. We didn't really have much of anything at that time. And so we went up there, and they had a pile of rocks out back. It's called a dump. And it basically would have been they were mining zinc up there in northern New Jersey, and they were dumping the stuff that was useless to them. And so they dumped a lot of these rocks, and a lot of them had fluorescent minerals inside them. Franklin, New Jersey, that's the northern part of New Jersey. I'll show you where that is just a little bit later. They have some of the highest concentrations in different types of fluorescent minerals in the world, anywhere. And the kinds of oranges and greens I've been showing you here, these are collector's items all over the world. And we went up there that day, and we took our rock hammers along, and we had fun smashing rocks apart and sticking them in our 5-gallon plastic buckets. And then we took them up to the shed that they had. Excuse me, they had fluorescent lights, the UV lights in the shed, and we could put them underneath there and say, oh, wow, that's neat. And some were duds and some were good. In fact, I learned a new term for the kinds you leave there. They said it's called leverite. Leverite there. So some of those you throw away. But anyhow, anyway, after that, we kind of, there was a, they actually had a rock show there, and they had displays, I mean, much bigger than this. If you go to the Franklin Mineral Museum, they've got an enormous long display, I don't know, 20, 30 feet long, and it's full of these things. And you can turn, if you go visit there, you can turn the lights off yourself and flip the UV lights on, and it just, like, I mean, it just blows you away. It's really amazing. I've never been to Sterling Hill, but I want to go there sometime too. In Sterling Hill, you actually go down an underground mine, and they have a room that they light up, and the walls light up like this, colored lights. So that's on my bucket list. And Jeremy and I talked about going up before this talk, and I just didn't have time to do it. But I plan to go up there sometime yet, hopefully this year yet, to see that. It's a very interesting place. It's not that far from Pennsylvania. Next door. So we got into that and started collecting rocks, and I just really got excited about fluorescent rocks. I wasn't such a big rock hound, but I like fluorescent rocks. So I started buying lights, and so just a few things about the hobby. I have these lights here. The one on top, that's the light you see in the top picture here. That's the one that lights up my display. That's a permanent or a display light. That is a fluorescent light, I think. Yeah, I do have a fluorescent tube there. This is the bottom of my light. When it's illuminated, the one side is A and the other side is C, but you can see the tube in there. And basically what they do is they put a filter here that blocks out their visible light and lets the UV light through. That's pretty much how they do it with those. Then you can also do portable lights. I don't know if I didn't bring any of these portable lights along here tonight, but you can get various lights for prospecting. Nowadays they have these UV flashlights that I've been showing you here, and these are, I tell you, it's just amazing. A shortwave flashlight, I mean, a longwave flashlight's easy to make, but a shortwave flashlight, that's a different story, and this just became available. So that, I'm very happy to have both of them. Actually, I think the longwave light might belong to my son, but anyway, we both have some lights there. Now, and they're actually pretty good. A few things about collecting rocks. When you collect, you should have a rock hammer of some kind. And we just use a masonry hammer. You don't need a real rock hammer. If you want to be official, you can get a rock hammer, but a masonry hammer works just fine to knock some rocks apart. You should wear proper PPE. If you're in business, you probably know what PPE is, personal protective equipment. Don't go into the mines or dumps just wearing some kind of sandals. Wear a good pair of shoes. Make sure you take something along to haul your stuff out in, and that also you're careful where you go. They say if you're out west and you're shining your UV light around and something on the ground glows, be careful that you don't just pick it up right away, because it might not be a rock. It might be a scorpion. Scorpions will fluoresce, and so if you reach down and pick that thing up, you'll get bit. It won't feel good. I never did that, but I want to go out west and prospect. There are some fabulous places out there for sure. Now, where can you get fluorescent? I want to talk about safety just a fluorescent UV light can be dangerous, long ways safe. Shortwave, now I've been shining this shortwave light around here a little bit, so technically I should have been wearing goggles. I do wear glasses, so that helps me. But when we were at the Mineral Museum, in their rock display, it was a portable display, they made us wear plastic glasses. Like, we went in, we had to put safety glasses on, and then you go through the display, and then you take them off again when you come out. So the medium and shortwave, you should wear some kind of protection. Most completely stopped by most forms of glass or plastic. But never look directly at a UV light like this. That's a good thing I didn't have it turned on. So, where can you get fluorescent rocks? Well, you can collect your own. That's what we did with some of these. You can trade with other collectors. And you can use, as one writer has called it, the silver pick. Pay for it. So I've done that a few times because it's stuff. I mean, I wouldn't have gone to Brazil and got that ruby necessarily, or you know what I mean. I didn't have opportunity to do that, but I could go to Green Dragon and he bought some stuff. There's light green ones in here. You can't really see it too well there. That's a zincite. Excuse me. There's a small piece of light green, kind of a pale green in there, and that's zincite. That comes from Poland, I think he said. So that's. That way to get it is to buy some things. Someone has said, collecting rocks, that's cheap. You can do it. Collecting fluorescent rocks, I'm sorry, that's an expensive hobby. So it just is. Here you buy the lights and get a display, probably not everybody's going to do it. But I got so excited about it, I just had to do it. And I got a young man from church to build a display for me, and it's worked out okay. Could talk about display cases. If you do want to go prospecting anywhere, you should make sure you actually have permission to get on that land. I'm going to skip over this. Here's a few things to look at there. A few places if you want to learn more. I have the Fluorescent Mineral Society, uvminerals.org. They actually have a publication that you can get. Geology.com I was on. Franklin Ogdensburg Mineralogical Society up in New Jersey there. If people are near there, that's the place to be, because then what you do is you go prospecting with other people and they can answer your questions. And when we went up there, we kind of didn't know what we were doing. We just started smashing rocks apart. And anyway, nature, there are a few sites, Nature's Rainbows. I like Midnight Minerals. I met this man, Patrick Bigos, at the rock show at Franklin, and I bought all my lights pretty much from him. He's based out of Maine, maybe up somewhere in New England. And so a nice fellow, and he has these lights called Way Too Cool, which I think most, if not all, of my lights are Way Too Cool lights. But anyway, these are the two museums I talked about. There's some recommended books. I guess she'd show them afterward, but maybe a little more light. Could you throw the middle two rows on or something there, please? All right, hold on. This one I got at Franklin, it's called UV Light and Fluorescent Minerals. I quoted from this a few times tonight. This is a pretty, like it goes, it's not what I mean to say, I'm trying to get this out. Some of the chapters aren't as difficult, but there are some that are pretty heavy, so you can skip over those if you're not really into chemistry. But a real useful book to learn about this science of it. And then I recently got these two by Stuart Schneider. These are more recent books from the 2000s. Collecting Fluorescent Minerals and the World of Fluorescent Minerals. And what he did was he took pictures of a lot of these rocks under visible light, and then he also took pictures of them under both long wave and short wave light. And I mean, he took thousands of pictures and had some really nice pictures. So these are good books to get. They're not exactly cheap. They couldn't be with all the pictures he has in them, but very good resource on that. Concealed glory. God veils his glory so that sometimes we can't see him. Moses said, you can't look on my face. But sometimes God unveils what the poet called a sea-like glimpse. It's just a little bit that we can see. And I think that fluorescent minerals is a little bit of God's glory. Just a little bit that we can see and enjoy. And I'm glad for the opportunity to share that with you this evening.